Blog Talk Radio.
A black teenage boy is dead. A white man shot him. Was he standing his ground? Hey girls, and what up dudes? I'm so grateful that you all took the time out of your busy schedule to tune in to today's show on Truth Heals Hurt Radio. This is your girl, Princess, and I'm bringing you somebody's truth, whether you like it or not. Today's guest will be the CEO of Sassy Soul Soy and writer, Dewan Moss Johnson, and recording artist, painter, and writer, Ireland. And they will reveal some nasty truths about domestic violence. Call somebody, Facebook, text, tweet, gossip. You know how to do that. Don't act like you don't know. And tell them that the show is about to start. Ready, set, let's go.
Hello, 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 everybody. It is such a great day. I have been running around like a chicken with my head cut off because I have a whole lot going on in my life right now. But let's get to what this show is about. My mirror reflects domestic violence. I would like to welcome my 8 o'clock guest, Dewan. How are you today?
I'm great, Princess. How are you?
I'm doing good. I feel kind of crazy, like I've been running around like somebody crazy just to get this show going. But I had to do this show because I'm learning a lot of my friends went through some domestic violence situations, and I am like, what? And I was a friend, you know, there, not always there for you, but I just had no idea. And so the two guests that I have today, you and Arlen, I'm just like, what? Y'all did such a good job at covering things up.
Right.
So if,
right.
Yeah. So if you'll start by just telling us, give us a synopsis or a brief something cause, so we can talk to you and ask questions, because I know you can't sum it all up in 30 minutes, but tell us about your domestic violence situation.
Okay, first of all, thank you so much for having me on your show. I am so proud of you, and I am a fan.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You know what? I want to dispel the myth that people that are victims of domestic violence come from abusive households, because I didn't. That was not my case. I come from a very loving household, Christian household. And my dad was awesome. He is awesome. My mom also. But, and I had no problems with self-love, self-esteem. I joined the Marine Corps, as you know, at 18. And something clicked. I got to Okinawa. I was sexually assaulted by my commanding officer. And when I reached out to tell someone, my commanding officer was behind the door listening. And so my life on that island was hell after that. But it also chipped away at my self-esteem. And I became intimidated by men. So that's where mine came from. And I believe that when you become a victim of domestic violence, is not because you grew up in an abusive household. It can be because you don't have enough self-love, you don't have enough self-esteem. Something has made you not worthy. And that's what happened. And I married my ex-husband 6 months after knowing him, and I was taught to stick through your marriage no matter what. And the abuse started there. That was mostly an emotional, abusive relationship. But by the time that I divorced him, I moved back to Atlanta. I had confided in a very, very good friend. And he knew everything that was going on, and He knew what I despised about my marriage. He knew what I needed, what I wanted. And little did I know that he would be my worst abuser of all times.
Wow. Mm.
And the reason that I guess a lot of friends don't know is because we're sometimes embarrassed. Embarrassed because, believe it or not, we'll leave and we'll go back. People are called us stupid for being there. And it's not that easy to leave as people think it is.
Right. I do understand that. I didn't let people know when I was in a relationship with my children's father that we fought all the time. And mm-hmm. I would get on the praise team. I would sing. I would mm-hmm. Go to church and act like nothing. I remember one Sunday mm-hmm. morning having cuts on my knuckles from mm-hmm. fighting, you know, scratches, stuff like that. So I do understand that, Dewan, and I thank you so much because a need for people to know the truth. So you're in a situation where you're going through abuse. Now, what types of abuse did you have to deal with? Because there are different kinds.
Right. Well, in my marriage, it was mostly emotional abuse. It turned violent. But with that relationship that I'm talking about, 12-year relationship, mm-hmm. it was just pure violence. I'm talking about choking until I'm almost unconscious, pulling my hair out, throwing stuff at me. I mean, punching me in the stomach, throwing me into walls. I mean, the house would be destroyed because I'm being thrown into a wall. And thank God, most of it was done when my child was with my ex-husband for the summer. So my child did not mm-hmm. see all of that. But at one point, it happened while my son was 16, and he heard the commotion. And when I walked into his room, I could see his eyes red, and he was pacing. And I'm like, okay, he cannot see this because I don't want him in the middle of this mess. I don't want him to feel like he has to protect me. So that night, I packed up a little clothes and went to work the next morning and never mm-hmm. returned.
Yeah. For those of you that are listening, I want you to know something. Because we believe in having truth on this show. I used to go to Dewan's house when I lived in Locust Grove, and because I lived in a house where I was domestically abused. My father was very awful. And so Dewan was one of the people, along with Monica and Karen Sims, and they lived on the other side. They allowed me to go over to their houses to run away from the fear that I had of living with somebody who was constantly abusing, fighting, trying to kill me and my brother, different stuff. So to hear Dewan say this is it's like flooring me because I know I kept silent while I would visit her house. We would play games and, right, Dewan, we had fun.
Yes. So now I'm floored. Because I never knew that part of your life. I just knew that we were around each other.
Yes, you all were my rescue. I would just go over to your house to try to, and then people now want to say that didn't really happen. So the reason why I brought that up is because you have family members, people who are in denial, who want you to shut up, who want you to say that this person did not do this. Did you have to deal with any issues from your family?
Well, my family, no. The reason I hid it from my family is because out of embarrassment, because my daddy's hard. My daddy found out about some of it, and my daddy put a gun in the back of his pants and packed me up overnight. This was just one of the times I left and went back. My sister was ready to fight. I don't have brothers, but I got uncles, and at one time they've all been involved. I didn't have an issue with my family not believing me. However, my abuser's side of the family wanted to avoid it. They wanted to turn a blind eye.
Some people like to pretend that it's not going on, but for those of you that are listening that have been abused, people make these threats, that the abusers make threats, like you better not tell nobody, or you're not going to be worthy of anything. Nobody's going to believe your lies. They go in front of people pretending that, you know, they're doing nothing. Some of them are like saints you know, go in front and perpetrating goodness and kindness. But I will say to you, there is hope. There is a way out. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But there is hope. There's a way out. So, Dewan, what scars did you bring out of? And I don't mean physical. Sometimes we bring emotional scars. So what scars did you bring out once you got out of that situation?
I'm a very, very trusting, naive, and green, like the older people would say. I guess I brought out, it took me a while to find my self-worth again. So I still didn't have my self-esteem. I still had trust issues as far as somebody really wanting to be my protector. And I have a hard time trusting people with my whole truth, because trusting my ex with my whole truth gave him the insight to come at me, to trust him, for him to gain control emotionally and mentally that had me paralyzed to where I couldn't move. I mean, he would literally lock me in the house. So, trust issues.
So then with those trust issues, when it's time to, because in order to love, in order to be free to love, those trust issues have to be dealt with. Because you can't carry that over, you know, into another relationship. So how are you handling that when it comes to new people coming into your life? I know you have some that you trust for years, but what about new people coming?
You know, I believe in giving people clean slate, so I have really evolved from that part of the emotional baggage. I give people a clean slate, and I just work on when I feel myself slipping into wanting to put up my guard and make somebody else pay for what I've gone through. I have my toolbox. I journal, and of course, since I was sexually assaulted that time by my CO and several times by the same person at another duty station, of course, I talked to doctors. So, and prayer. I think the main thing is prayer and praying for a spirit of discernment. And if I see anything out of the ordinary, it may not be serious, but if it's bothering my spirit, you got to go.
I don't blame you for that. So when it comes to your child, you said most of the time when it happened, your child was gone. Have you ever asked your child, because I know a lot of times we think the children are not aware, so have you ever asked your child? And the reason why I'm asking you this is because a lot of us think that things go on in our house, and because, you know, the child is kind of distant or not right there, that they're not aware and that we're not harming them because we stay in, you know, certain situations. So were there any signs, like conversations that would make him think that, you know, you're being hurt? Any?
You know, I wouldn't come out and ask David. I would ask him, David, has he done anything to you? But one time, like I said, I dealt with this person for 12 years, get together, break up, move back in. And, you know, one time I remember going to the place where he was staying to pick up something. And we got in an argument. And when we got in the car, my child looked at me, and he was like, Mama, why won't you just leave him alone? So That broke my heart too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I relate to that because my daughter was 4 when she looked at me and she said, "Can I just go stay with Grammy?"
Right.
And I'm like, "Why?" And she said, "Because you all fight all the time and you argue all the time, and I don't want to live like this." And I'm saying to myself, "Now it takes a 4-year-old to have more sense than I had." But for what I think now, my situation again was the first situation that you talked about, you know, with having a live around. I'm very nervous around certain things. Certain sounds bother me. When people start arguing, I get nervous.
Yes.
Do you have any things that bother you? That
yes.
So talk to us about that. Yeah.
My sister probably have no idea why I shake when people start arguing. I'm not an arguer, and I'm not an arguer for a reason, because arguments just sends me into a panic attack. I will pop an Ativan or two in a heartbeat because it just makes me nervous. I can't be around people when they start to arguing. So I have to either remove myself or sedate myself.
Wow. And so you have to do something medically.
Yes.
So did you have anything to happen to you after that where you have to have medical treatment? Did you?
What did you say?
I said, did you have any, like once you got, you know, after the situation, did you have anything that happened to you where you did have to go get medical treatment?
No.
Or
no,
ongoing?
You know, are you talking about after, like, a physical abuse situation?
Yeah, you know, like. Yeah, because I know you're saying you're taking something to kind of block you out, but do you have to have something ongoing, or is it something you just take when there's a situation?
No, I do have something ongoing, and, you know, this is all about truth heals, so I'm going to be transparent because a few months ago I did another radio show, and I decided I was going to be truthful, tell my story in order to help others. I take medication because I am manic depressive and bipolar and a post-traumatic stress disorder.
Wow.
So
and people don't feel like mental stuff comes out of that. So is that diagnosed because of what you've gone through?
Yes, it has. Because
it didn't die down. Yeah.
It didn't die down. My first episode of having to be hospitalized for it was when I was 18, after the incident with my CO. I had to be hospitalized for it, and I was not sent back to Okinawa. I was sent to another base in Florida.
Yeah, you know, this week on Scandal, they talked about, was it this week or last week, they dealt with a situation like that, and I was sitting there talking to my husband, you know, because he's military, and I'm like, are they not going to do nothing for, you know, anything for the girl? You know, I don't know if you saw that show, but I was just disturbed that there were not things put in place that would protect her. Like, she had to go back to the same place where the person was, and I was just disturbed in my spirit. But that's a lot of women who deal with domestic violence. They go back to that place that hurts them, back to that place that was not comfortable, you know, and tough it out. And I just want to say I'm sorry. You know, I just feel so bad for people that deal with this. Now, you've had, listening to it, domestic violence with abuse, physical, and then the sexual. Talk to me, Dwan, about the difference for you. Or did you do like what I did and just put everything in the same basket? It's all abuse. But was there a difference? Did one of those things take more out of you?
No. To me, the sexual abuse was the started it all. And it just trickled down. Then emotional abuse and then physical abuse. I put everything in the same basket.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Everything in the same basket.
So, did you do anything? Some people smoke. Some people go to drinking. Some people eat. Some people did something come out of this that you didn't do before?
I am definitely, I eat. I eat to relieve my stress, relieve my anxiety. I deal with my emotions. I'm an emotional eater. So drinking, no. Smoking, drugs, no. But food is definitely a problem for me.
Okay. And so your comfort is food. Now, mm-hmm. you run a company, and mm-hmm. I'm so proud of you. and you're working on a book, and I'm proud of that. There's so much to be proud of, you know. And I want you to know you have a large number of people listening to you today. This is why I love this. Large amount of support because you're very supportive. And so in the midst of this domestic violence and abuse that you've dealt with, did that change DeJuan? Is DeJuan still the person that she was before this happened? Or did some things happen to you? I know you said some trust issues and stuff, but do you feel like you are you? Or did you lose some of you?
I feel like I lost the innocent part of me, but I gained a much stronger sense of DeJuan. I feel like now I'm a conqueror. I feel like I'm a survivor, and it has led me to be transparent and to also start a group called Divas Against Depression. I also call it DAD, to help other women battling any kind of depression, because like you said, abuse causes depression, or depression can cause you to stay in abusive relationships. So I do have a group that I lead called Divas Against Depression. So I feel like I'm stronger.
Yeah. So you're helping other people deal with. Now, what's your advice? Do we get out? Do we continue to go back and forth? Do we do what is safe? What you think?
We do what is safe, which is to leave, get help, get out any way possible, and be careful, make a plan, because a lot of fatalities happen after the victim leaves. So what I literally had to do one of those times, he played softball. So while he was playing softball, I would just put my clothes, me and my son's clothes, in a bag. And he didn't know the difference because I did the clothes. After work, I went and got another apartment. And when he went to play a game, he came home, and my dad and my uncle and my sister had moved me out. And like I said, the last time I finally got it, I got that instinct that, okay, come on. And it kept bothering me. It kept nagging on me. It's like, Dorn, he is going to be the reason that you die. I just literally left for work the next day, and I didn't turn back.
Wow.
So you have to be careful. You have to make a plan. Do whatever you have to do, but get out safe. And then, you know, you have to do, and, you know, work on yourself. I journal. I have affirmations all over the place. I post inspirational post on Facebook for myself. Half the time that stuff that I put up on, it's for me to remember.
Right. See, and that's people think, you know, the same way about me. I have to release this stuff, so I write. And, you know, a lot of times what I write is not going to be current for people to make comments on then, because I really don't want to hear all of the extra stuff when I'm actually going through it. So, DeJuan, this has been an amazing conversation. Time goes by so fast. We still have a few more minutes. If you don't mind, I need to play a commercial, and I'll be right back, okay?
Okay.
A black teenage boy is dead. A white man shot him. Was he standing his ground, or was it murder? Janice Johnson is living every black mother's nightmare. Her 17-year-old son was murdered and the shooter has not been arrested. Can the DA and the police be trusted to investigate and do the right thing? Should Janice take advantage of the public outcry and join her husband alongside the angry protesters who are out for revenge? Then there's Meredith Spencer. She's married to the man accused of the killing, and she sees her husband and the situation with far more clarity than anyone realizes. What she knows can blow the case wide open. And what will that mean for her life and that of her son? Will she have the courage to come forward in time so that justice can be done? Stay tuned. There's more. Stand Your Ground, June 30th, Victoria Christopher Murray. Have you got that book yet?
All right, DeJuan, we're back. And for those of you that are just now joining us, we're talking about domestic violence with DeJuan Moss Johnson. And at 8:30, we're going to continue this conversation. DeJuan, once your daddy found out, I have the kind of brothers, once they find out, they'd be ready to go kill people. You know, jump on people or whatever. So once your dad finds out, and I got to do this quick because I got two different questions. Once your dad found out, the first thing, of course, our parents want us to do is get some shelter or want to know why we didn't tell them or whatever. Once you got out of the situation, now when it's time to date, what is daddy saying? What's daddy's advice for the ladies that are listening?
You don't have to take it. You don't have to put up with it. Daddy's advice is don't let me kill him. My mama had the same advice. Don't let your daddy go to jail for killing somebody.
Yeah, and see, a lot of single women, so I brought that up because a lot of times we were with single women, we're looking for somebody, and I'm saying we are not because I'm single, but when you're single, you're looking for somebody, and you want somebody to, you know, be there. Do people show you who they are as crazy people from the beginning, DeJuan?
You know, I have to honestly say the two of abusive relationships I've been in, yes, I just chose to overlook it because certainly what
Thank
they
you.
Did to somebody else, they wouldn't do to me.
Thank you. That's the part that, right, and that's the part a lot of us don't want to acknowledge. We see crazy from the beginning, but we don't acknowledge crazy, or we say, you know, we don't have to. They'll change. Most of us think we can change people. Can you change somebody that's abusive?
No, and no. The only person we can change is ourselves. And you know what? We as women want to be loved, but I'm telling you, you do not want to be loved to death. And so many people are being loved to death, literally.
And that is awful. That is awful. I mean, some of us do want companionship. So much that we'll put up with crazy stuff.
Right. But we can
you know,
do all
yeah.
this.
Now, for
right.
those
we
of you Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a delay, so I pray that this is not aggravating to somebody. It's going in and out a little bit, and it is, I guess, fading or whatever the case may be. But this is Blog Talk Radio, and so until we have arrived at another level, this is what we have to deal with sometimes. So I pray that it's not keeping you all away from learning or being able to help somebody else with some advice. So, DeJuan, talk to us about your business because our time is coming to an end. So talk to us about your business, how we can contact you later, and if somebody needs some help, what they can do to reach out to you.
Okay, in order to reach out to me any time of day and night, please do so. Call me on my Sassy Soul line. That number is 678-379-9585. My email address is DeJuanDJohnson@yahoo.com or SassySoulSoy@yahoo.com. That's Sassy with an I. Or you can reach me on Facebook under my name, DeJuan Moss Johnson, or Sassy Soul Soy Facebook page. And I'm going to
to do another commercial because the commercial that you sent me had an you know, some dates in it. So we need a regular sassy soul toy commercial so we can play it because I love, love supporting. Now, for those of you that are listening, this is opportunity to have free advertising. I don't know why people don't take advantage of free advertising. Maybe they don't think I have people calling in, but I do. I have quite a few listeners on my show because we have fun on here. We talk about true things. So this is the opportunity. If you're an author, why won't you give me your information so that I can share your stuff? But I'm not going to beg, right, Dawn? We're not going to beg.
No.
So what I do every week, for those of you that get frustrated with Brown Girls commercials and Stand Your Ground commercials and Touched by an Angel commercials, that is because nobody turned in any other commercials. But I'm going to keep blasting. Dawn, you know I'm crazy. So I'm just going to keep, and if y'all don't like it, then that's because you did not. I know some of you sell Avon. Some of you are selling these body wraps. I see you on, Facebook. And you don't want to share your information with us because you think, oh, that's just Blog Talk Radio. That's just Prince's little show because we like to do that too. Keep on thinking that. Last week I had 70-something listeners. That is huge. For somebody who just started. So, and looking at my numbers overall, I've had 400 and something listeners since I started my show. So, hey, it's up to you to advertise your business. I'm trying to be a millionaire plus.
I'm with you, Texas. I'm with you.
So, anyway, we're getting ready to switch over to the other side of the show. Dawn, you don't have to go anywhere because I know you'll talk back and forth to me. I'm getting ready to open up our lens line. For those of you that are listening, the song that you hear in the beginning is being brought to you by my sister that I'm getting ready to introduce to you. Dawn, I'm getting ready to mute your line, but you know you can always press 1 if you want to holler back at your sister, okay?
Okay, thank you.
And those of you that are listening, hopefully you won't hang up. Hopefully you'll hang on. This is going to be a great rest of the show.
Hi, I'm Rashonda Tay Billingsley. And by now we hope you've heard how we're changing the game with our boutique publishing company, Brown Girls Publishing. Victoria Christopher Murray and I founded the company because while we've both been blessed to still have careers as successful authors, we knew that because of the changing industry, there were many talented writers who weren't having the opportunity to let their voice be heard. The paradigm has shifted in film and TV and music as artists take control of their destiny. We're hoping to do that in the literary industry by bringing you quality fiction from fan favorites and fresh voices in every genre. Victoria and I personally edit every book to make sure you're getting quality stories. New titles are added every month. So come on over to browngirlspublishing.com and order some books and support these awesome writers. You'll be glad you did. Brown Girls Publishing, where the game has changed.
Okay, we're back, and we're doing the second half. Ireland, are you there?
I'm here.
How are you today?
Hello? Yes. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. Now, so you know, so you won't think we're talking over each other. There is a slight delay. So when I ask a question or if I make a comment, you just keep on talking, and then you'll know when I'm trying to interrupt you to ask a question because sometimes there's a little, you know, like a little delayed type response thing going on. Okay, so Dawn just finished talking to us about sexual abuse and physical abuse. What type of abuse are you going to talk to us about that you've had to go through?
Well, first I want to say thank you for having me on the show, and is a very big topic that a lot of Christians don't like to talk about, but I wanted to open up about it and say my little part and just hope that it will help someone to get free. And what what I experienced in a domestic violence was verbal, mental, financial, sexual, pretty much everything.
So when you so dealing with this, tell us, give me a life in the day of give me one of your days when this is occurring.
Let's see, one of my days, my past marriage was, it would be where, of course, I'm a singer, so I would be getting ready and getting prepared to go worship and minister and sing, and there would be this, all of a sudden this argument out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
The whole way to the program, put me down, just the spirit, just everything was just awful. And
mm-hmm.
I would have to get up there and minister through that, get back in the car, and then endure the yelling, the fussing, the put me down, the everything all the way home. And because most of the time or a lot of times I was not working, the money would be, oh, we don't have money for that. Oh, we're not doing that. It's whatever I say. This is my money. You're going to do what I say. You know, this is my thing. And this is this. And this is all about what I want to do. That was a day in my life, you know.
Ooh, when I tell you, now, I got to say this right quick. I got to say this. I got to get this off my chest.
Okay.
There is nothing new. We don't have the same people in our lives. So when I'm hearing these stories, this is so funny to me because we actually could write a book and somebody could go A, B, C, D, E, because this is nothing new. Like, this is the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when I hear the stories, it's the same stuff. It's somebody either intimidated by you, because I'm going to tell you, I know what you're talking about. I can...
Mm-hmm.
You're like, what is happening? What took place? What did I say? I just want to go minister. I just want to get my mind right. I just want to go, do what God called me to do. What you mad about the socks for? What happened to the cheese? Who left? You know what I'm saying? Who left? What happened? You just be like, and so,
yeah,
so then you had to get up in front of people, and then what? What was you supposed to do? Drop all that on the floor? What you supposed to do?
Pretty much act like nothing's wrong. Just because I'm a gospel singer and, it's kind of like this thing where you don't really say what's really going on because people will probably look at you like, wait a minute, you're a gospel singer. You're not supposed to be going through that.
Well, that's probably yeah, that's probably why you're going through it. There you go. Take it from me.
Yeah.
So
I felt alone a lot because I could not come out and say, oh, well, this is going on with me. So I began to just put all my feelings into my paintings. And every time I would get yelled at, fussed at, or I can't have this as if I'm a child, I would paint. I would draw. And I would put all my emotions, because it was my coping skill. It was like my coping skill in art just went like 10 times 10 during that 8 years of the marriage. I was just all into my craft. And if I wasn't painting, then I was writing a song. I was putting all my feelings on paper and everything that I was just, it was just bubbling out of me. And since I've been divorced, it's like God has just been, just healing my heart. Even before my divorce came, a year before, God had been just touching my heart, healing my heart, and just pouring into me and just showing me who I am in His Word and giving me steps to really look in the mirror and see that ugliness of myself, not even looking at the person that hurt me. Now I'm looking at myself. Okay, I got to take full accountability for what I allowed to happen to me in that time period. Then I got to look past, before I even got into the marriage, what allowed me, why would I allow myself to marry someone and I already know they weren't no good for me? So I had to deal with all of that mess that was inside of me, and I had to go in the mirror God gave me some steps.
Mm-hmm. And then you deal with that. My mother is listening on this, so what I'm about to say, she can vouch for me telling the truth. She's not a person that allows her daughter to lie. So I'm going to say this. My stuff, I'm being honest. My stuff, girl, got me so angry, you know, like I got mad. So then I want you to fight me now because I'm tired. I just want you to hit me so I can take something and go upside your head, and because I'm tired of you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so people say, well, Princess, it wasn't domestic. It started with this talking and belittling, mm-hmm. talking, that stuff, telling you you're not going to be nothing. All you are is this. So did you ever hear any of those words? Were you limited? Is this person's definition of you less than, of course, what God said to you?
Yes, I was called stupid several times in front of my children. You think you're everything just because you know how to do a lot of stuff, and you just think you all that, and you're selfish, and you're this and you're that, and I'm selfish because you're mad because I have talent, and I never understood it. So I was like, you're mad at me because I have talent, and he would constantly throw that in my face, is that you just think you're everything, and you think everything is about you, but you're stupid. And you're dumb, and you don't know how to be a wife, and you don't do this. And if I didn't do certain things in the bedroom, it was just sexual abuse and all this. Mm. I mean, all this stuff is put downs, just constant put downs. Because I'm still trying to figure all of that out that he just kept throwing. But yeah, it was just constant put downs.
Yeah,
I did nothing wrong.
If you are listening, I want to tell you something. When people do that to you, they are really, that's a reflection of them. It has nothing to do mm-hmm. with you. Those are words they're saying because they're uncomfortable or upset or frustrated with something that they have not accomplished. It has nothing to do with you. That's a lie. Oh, that's a lie. It's a bunch of lies. Like I was told that nobody was going to want me because I had the 3 children and I was not going. It's a lie that's been told to so many people, so many women.
I heard that one too.
Yeah, nobody, who going to want you? You got children. Ain't no man going to come in and take over no responsibility, you know, for no children that's not his, and you better not let that man come. I said, well, I need you to make up your mm-hmm. mind, some of the stupid stuff you're saying. I need you to make up your mind. But see, me, because my mom dealt with abuse, then when I started having to deal with it, mine came out. I'm telling y'all, see, everybody don't have the same stuff, so don't try. We ain't all the same. I want to fight you. I will come on with it because, see, I'm tired. I'm tired of people bothering me. I'm tired of people talking about me, belittling me. So my thing was anger. What's your thing? What thing came out of? DeJuan said her thing was trust. Did she start having trust issues? I didn't have the trust issues because I figured I can figure it out. But what's yours?
I would say mine, I began to emotionally eat like DeJuan. And that mm-hmm. is how I got up to 319 pounds. And, mm-hmm. I mean, I ate my feelings. And I tried my best to purge in my art and stuff like that. But when you have a constant nag on you that's constantly mm-hmm. putting you down, but you're trying to fight, and it was just like I was wanted to be this person. I want my marriage to work. I want my marriage to work, and I don't want to be ashamed if I get divorced and people are going to look at me some kind of way because I'm a gospel singer. And I had all this guilt on me, but I just ate. And then it was like when I wanted to exercise, he would tell me, you know, why you got to exercise and why you got to do this? You don't need to exercise. You look good like you is.
What's wrong and with you?
That,
what's
you know,
what I'm saying? What's wrong with you?
Mental games.
Yeah, what's wrong with you wanting to have yourself looking good? You know, like I remember trying to get ready for some play I had, and you putting on fingernail polish. Yeah, I just want to polish my nails. Oh, you must be going to see somebody,
wow.
or somebody must be coming to see you, and you'd be like, well, what? I just want to do this. Play. I'm not thinking about that. Which, you know what I'm saying? It was just some crazy stuff said. But we tolerate that. Now tell me why you tolerated that. Talk to me about that.
Again, it was the fear. It was the fear of being judged by everybody else because I'm a gospel singer. And because I wanted my marriage to work because this was my second marriage. And I was like, oh, my God, I don't want this to end because then people are going to think, oh, what's wrong with her? And that's what kept me in it for almost a decade of my life, was that I was in fear. And then he would constantly say, now ain't nobody going to want you. And then there was a constant, who you with? And I was like, for a decade of my life, being accused of always cheating. And I never cheated on this man. But...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a lot.
And then you try to figure it out. You try when somebody tells you you're not a good wife to try to figure out how to be a good wife. When somebody says that you're cheating on them, you try to figure out ways to show them that you're not cheating. You know what I'm saying? You go through a lot of different things to try. In that, did you lose you or did you find you?
I think I lost a lot of me. Because for many years of our marriage, I did not paint. I didn't do a lot of the things that I enjoyed, that I truly, truly was passionate about and I loved. And I got weary in my worship, in my going and ministering. I didn't want to go because I was going to have to go through all this headache of just getting there and hearing all the negative things poured into me as I'm trying to go and lift somebody else up. So I lost a lot of me in the beginning, but in the end, God just, he kept telling me, you're going to have to walk alone in this season, and I need you to move. And I kept staying. I stayed another year, and God kept speaking to my heart, kept speaking to me, because I was getting sicker, and, I mean, my health deteriorated. I was so sick. And a lot of people didn't even know that I was sick because I would paint my face when I go out. I'm looking oh so good, but I was sick. I mean, my body was just, it was dying. And I could feel myself just going. And I was like, okay, you either going to die or you're going to get out of this. Do you want to live? Do you want to do what God tell you to do? And I just had to leave. I had to get out. And I tell you, God... it really just sets that thing up and kind of pushes you.
Yeah, because he's going to take care of his children, and that's what a lot of people don't realize. You may be in it. You may say, you know, I'm not out of it yet, but you cry out to God and pray and ask God to tell you when the right time. We had a lady in Noonan when I was attending church there, and I remember her talking, she had a book out, and I didn't do the research, but I am going to try to find the name of it because it's somebody that a lot of people in Noonan knew, and she dealt with a lot of domestic violence, abusive stuff, and the man ended up, I don't know if you remember this, the man ended up killing her son. Her son was running, but ended up killing her son, was trying to kill her, and that didn't work out the way he thought. But when you get your children caught up in this mess, were your children in any way bothered by this?
Yes, my children unfortunately did see a lot of the yelling. They heard a lot of things. They saw a lot of things that I'm ashamed of. And I had to ask God for forgiveness because I know that he made me responsible for them. And so we went through a lot of counseling and I'm still in counseling. And this did to help me and my children because this is a lot of stuff, you know, that you can get spiritual counseling for and, you know, just regular clinical counseling. And we needed that because they bring up stuff sometimes. They actually have asked me and come to me and said, Mom, why did Daddy pull your hair? Why did he push you down on the ground? And this is stuff that happened when they were really young. And I'm like, I was thinking that they didn't remember. But they do. And that happened to my heart.
We remember, and I'm saying we because, again, I put myself in the shoes of other people, but we remember things. I kid you not. I tell people now a lot of the things that my mother did for us when we were growing up, I don't remember a lot of the things. I don't remember being in some people's weddings. I don't remember being, I'm serious, they're having to show me pictures on Facebook.
Wow.
I don't remember a lot of stuff. But I remember the abuse. I remember things that I remember my mama trying to feed us and only having a little bit to feed us and her going without food. I remember that. I remember all of that stuff. And so I do this show because there are a lot of things that happen to me, a lot of things, and I don't relate to everything, but I relate to a whole lot. And so when I hear about domestic violence, I'm saying to myself, at some point I played both roles in that. I played the person that was the victim, and then because I was so angry, I refused to let anybody say anything ugly to me, so then I want to fight. I refused to let, you know, you talk to me ugly, because then I was just, you know what I'm saying, angry. So then I became this sassy, short person, and I didn't want to be that person. I wanted to just enjoy life, and so I'm telling people now, you know, I just want to enjoy life. So now that you're, I can't say free yet, because you will become free when these issues, you know, as you go through counseling and stuff. I do know it's a process. So, but are you now, do you have, are you going to give love another chance? Are you going to trust God, I guess? I'm getting a little personal, but you don't have to answer. But are you going to trust God and not stop a third marriage, if that's the case, because of these people?
You know, I trust God. And I truly believe in marriage. I love the principles of marriage. And I feel like, you know, that's God made that. So it's beautiful. It's just that when we get into it and we put our foot in it and we step before what God says, then you're going to get stuff like this. So I have consciously admit that I stepped out of line and did what God didn't want me to do. He wasn't the husband for me, but I picked him. So when we go around and pick the husbands that we want, this is some of the results that we're going to get. And I take full responsibility for that. So I'm just waiting on my boys. I'm waiting on the man that God made just for me. And whenever that comes, which I know is going to be a while, and I'm taking my time, I'm working on myself and really seeing who I am. And chopping down all those walls, those hurt places. And as I do that, God is going to build me up and get me ready for whenever he's going to reveal him to me.
Right.
So
I
trust God.
Yeah, because you have to be who God called you to be to get the man that God called you to have. That's what people don't get. Broken up and in pieces, we find broken up in pieces. You see what I'm saying? It's just we grab hold to what we are at that time. A lot of us don't want to wait for the healing process. Like my first marriage, I said, you know, I was mean all kind of people, but I didn't want them because I was tired. You know, I didn't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk. I don't want to go eat no food because y'all crazy. I don't want to. You know what I'm saying? Folks crazy. I'm crazy. I don't have time. I got these children I got to raise, and he, you know, people come with all their issues, baggage. You know, So actually, I feel like God had to do some things in me in order for me to meet my husband, because I was not prepared or ready for the level, you know, a kingdomship with him. I was not prepared. I didn't know people would look at us and think, oh, wow, y'all are a powerful couple. Well, we didn't even say nothing. Wait a minute. You know what I'm saying? Like, we was just together. But when you get with who God called you to be with, to me, there's an anointing that flows from the relationship, even without words. There's a love that displays. It glows through. So, with that being said, tell me if while you're working on your projects now, and now that you now I didn't ask the one this either. Now that you all are walking in this greatness, and now you know trying to follow after, what are some things you can tell another woman not to lose in a relationship? Not to lose.
don't lose yourself. I mean, everything about yourself, don't lose that. Everything that you love, that you are passionate about, if you have to give that up to be with somebody, walk away.
Mm.
Because I had to give up a lot of me just to be married, just to be in the
industry. You just trying to sing a song. You just trying to sing. Everybody love it. Listen to me, people that are listening. Y'all need to go check out the CDs. I'm going to tell her to tell you where they are. But these are not people that cannot sing. Now, if she couldn't sing, then I can understand. But, you know, she has a gift. And so for those of you that date people with gifts and talents, you're going to have to get your little behind somewhere and understand this is how this works. They got to perform if they sing. They got to paint if they, you know what I'm saying? It's got to be a display. Like, you don't sing songs just to the people in the house. You got to go out. So that means you're going to have to, now listen, Ireland, take from your big sister. Don't you find nobody else. Don't be looking. You just sit down because you need somebody to let you be you because we need that voice. Because you can't go places with dealing with people like that. Y'all don't believe me, but you cannot go places with people who are intimidated, jealous, got trust issues, because you can't touch nobody. You ain't going to be able to hug nobody. You ain't going to be able to shake nobody's hand. Ain't nobody going to be able to say they love you because it's going to be personal. You know what I'm saying? You can't be with people when you got gifts like that. Now, if you are a person who needs to stay stuck in a corner somewhere, then you can marry whoever you like. But those of you that have gifts and talents and stuff, you cannot be in a relationship where somebody is intimidated by you. Couples are supposed to work together. You know, we help build a kingdom together. You take your talents, I take my talents, and we build up. Mm-hmm. Or if you don't have nothing to do or related with my gift, then you could just support me. You could tell me I'm doing good, you know, or something. But that stuff Ireland's talking about, we can't deal with that. No.
Yep.
Take that, take that somewhere else, because that sounds like jealousy.
It was complete jealousy.
That's what that sounds like. I can't sing like you. Now people asking me to sing and stuff, but I can't sing. I'm not jealous. Hey,
you have a beautiful.
Yeah, but you need to call Ireland. Leave Princess alone. This came from Diane. Telling us to sing before the Lord and putting us on the praise team and in the choir and, you know, stuff like that. That's you know, when they say God will take your talent and add to. But some of y'all was born with this stuff. Like, I have a gift to write. I have a gift to talk to people. That's my stuff. Let me have that. But you cannot be with somebody that is holding you back. Now, tell me. You have a project coming up because we named this show after your project, My Mirror Reflects Domestic Violence. So tell us about that because we have about 2 minutes, but the last minute they started doing this old crazy countdown and cutting you off and stuff. So tell me about that.
Okay. My Mirror Reflects Domestic Violence is an art series that I've been working on. I guess since all through my marriage I worked on it. And I got about 10 pieces of art, and they're going to be displayed June the 19th at the C Room, along with my single project, which is my single is called Make Me New, and it's all telling a story of domestic violence, about my life and how God is just making me over and doing new and great things through me for His people. So I'm just excited about that, and it's gonna be June 19th again at 8:00. Doors open at the C Room off Jonesboro Road.
Oh, we might be able to attend that. I should be home around June time to go to the awards. Okay, tell us how we can contact you right quick.
You can contact me by phone at 1-800-970-9181. That is my business line. If you want to order any type of jewelry, art, anything, you can call me on that line, or you can reach me at www.nalariart.org or www.nalariart.com.
And I always say I'm going to post this stuff later. Somebody need to help me because I done told a lie 3 weeks, I think. So this is a Truth Heals Hurt show. I'm telling the truth on myself. So I probably need to sit down today and post these different links because that's sometimes better for people. I thank you guys for tuning in with us today. It has been so wonderful to do this show with Dawn and Ireland. There are blessings in store for all of you that are listening. I thank you and I pray over all of you, and I'm getting ready to close out. My outro is about to start. Thank you for coming on the show with me, ladies.
Thank you. It's time to go. But I'll be back next week, same day, same time, but with a different guest. I'm out.
Okay, I'll see you next week.